What an opportunity. This Shabbos, we have the privilege of beginning together Hilchos Talmud Torah, where the Rambam will extol and outline the virtue and the parameters of learning Torah. Really, really, really another incredible section of Mishnah Torah, which, God willing, we will all gain from together. Halacha Aleph. Nashim v'abadim uktanim turim mitalmud Torah. Women, slaves, and children are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Aval katan aviv chayav l'lamdo Torah. However, a child, though he himself personally is exempt, his father is obligated to teach him Torah. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, v'limatem osam es bneichem l'daber bam, that you shall teach your children Torah in order so that they should speak in it. Ve'ena isha chayavet l'lamed es bna. A woman, though, is not obligated to teach her son Torah. Shekola chayav lomod chayav l'lamed. Only one who is obligated to learn Torah is obligated to teach Torah. A woman who is not obligated to learn Torah is not obligated to teach Torah. It's fascinating, and all the Mephorshim discuss this, how the Rambam begins with who is exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, rather than simply starting with who is obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Halacha Beis. Kishem shechayv adam lamed es beno, kahu chayv lamed es ben beno. Just as one is obligated to teach his own son Torah, he's also obligated to teach his grandson Torah. Shneimar, the pasuk says, v'odatem lebanecha levnei banecha. You shall make these matters known, referring to Torah, to your sons and to your grandsons. V'lo beno ben beno bavad. And in fact, it's not limited to just your own actual son or grandson. El mitzvah al kol chacham v'chacham yisrael lamed es kol hatamidim. Aval pi she'ena banav. Rather, every wise person amongst Klal Yisrael has an obligation to teach all potential students, even if they're not his actual children. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, v'shinatam levanecha, you shall instruct, you shall teach your children. However, through our Masorah, we interpret this to mean banecha elu talmidecha. Your children here refer to your students. Shetalmidim kriyim banim. After all, students are considered children. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, v'yitu bnei hanaviim, with regard to the prodigies of the prophets. So the pasuk calls them bnei hanaviim. They are students, but they are viewed as children. Imkain, lamanit tabu al benov al ben beno. Hold on one second. Why is it then that the pasuk specifies that you're obligated to teach your son or your grandson Torah if you're really obligated to teach anyone Torah? So the Rambam explains, lahakdim beno leven beno, uven beno leven chaver. In order to give primacy to the teaching of your son before your grandson and your grandson before somebody else. It's a matter of precedence if you only have the resources, the time to teach somebody, so your son comes before your grandson and your grandson comes before somebody else. Halacha gimel. V'chayv liskor milamed livno lilamdo. And one is obligated to hire somebody to teach his son Torah if, for whatever reason, you're not able to teach your son Torah. V'eno chayv lamed ben chaver el b'chinam. However, you're not obligated to spend money on your friend's son learning Torah. That's not your obligation, that's your friend's obligation, technically. And therefore, another difference between your son and somebody else's child is that you're obligated to the point where you have to spend money on your child learning Torah, but not somebody else's. Now the Rambam fascinatingly turns towards one's own obligation at this stage, and he says somebody whose father had not taught him Torah, that individual is obligated to teach himself Torah, kishayakir, as soon as he recognizes the obligation which is on his head. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, u'matem osam u'shmartem lasosam, that you shall learn them and you shall guard them in order to do them. V'chein atamotzei b'chol makom, and in fact we find this in all areas, shatamud kodem l'maisa, that learning takes precedence over doing good actions, because by learning, one will then in turn be brought to fulfill the actions, but simply doing the proper actions, the right deeds, won't bring one to study Torah. Halacha Dalet. Hayahu rot lomo Torah, v'yesh lo ben lomo Torah, hu kodem livno. If an individual hasn't yet learned Torah, and he wants to learn Torah, and he has a son who he's obligated to teach Torah to, which one takes precedence? That individual himself comes before his son. However, if the situation is such that the son is quicker and more adept at understanding his knowledge, that which he will be taught, then the father will be. So then, in that circumstance, the son takes precedence over even the father. The Rambam very importantly concludes, though, that even though the son technically takes precedence, the father is not able to just stand idle and not learn Torah. Because just as he's obligated to teach his son Torah, he's also obligated to teach himself. Again, in the Rambam's formulation, the fact that it's an obligation to teach yourself, as we saw in the previous halacha, and in this halacha, is truly fascinating, something which, of course, we're all beckoned to delve into deeper, but for the sake of brevity and the sake of this particular project, we must move forward. Halacha hey. La'olam yomod adam Torah v'achar kach yisa isha. Ideally, a person should first learn Torah and then get married. Shem nasa isha tchila, ain't daito pnuya lomod. Because if a person first gets married, he won't have the mental space. He won't be able to properly sit and learn because he has so many legitimate responsibilities at that stage that it's better that he first learn Torah and then get married. However, if the circumstance is that the individual feels that his desires are overpowering him to the point where either way he's not going to have the mental capacity to properly sit and learn, in that case, Esau, he should first get married. So then in that case, it's better that he first get married and then learn Torah. Halacha Vav. Me'emasai aviv chayv lamdo Torah. At what stage is a father obligated to teach the son Torah? Mishe yaskel ledaber milamdo Torah tivelanu Moshe u Shema Yisrael. He first, as soon as the child is beginning to speak, teaches his son Torah tivelanu Moshe and Shema Yisrael, two foundational psukim. Va'achar kach milamdo ma'at ma'at psukim psukim achi ben shesh o ben sheva kol lefi borio molicho etam lamed etinokos. And then eventually you teach him more and more psukim as he gets older, until the point when he's 6 or 7, each child in accordance with his physical makeup, his constitution, and his mental makeup as well. And then at that stage, you bring him next to the professional, trained school teacher. Halacha Zayin, more on school teachers. If the common practice in the society that you live in is to pay the school teacher, so then indeed you're supposed to pay the school teacher. And one is obligated to pay the school teacher until his son has learned all of the written Torah, all the 24 books of Tanakh. Now, from the perspective of the teacher, so if the custom of the place where he's in is to receive money, to receive compensation for teaching the written Torah, so then indeed he's allowed to charge money for it. However, the oral law, beyond the 24 books of the Torah, so then that is forbidden to teach it for money. Shneamar is pasuk says, "Re'eli mati eschem chukim v'shpatim kasher tivani Hashem." V'gomer, "Ma ani bechinam lamati, af atem lamatem bechinam mimeni, v'chein kishtlamdu ledoros lamdu bechinam kimosha lamatem mimeni." Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that just as Hashem taught me without any charge, and I taught you, the rest of Klal Yisrael, for free, so too, when you teach the future generations, you should do so for free without charging them for this Torah Shebe'al Peh. Lo matza misha lamdu bechinam. However, let's say there's no properly behaving school teachers around, and you can't find somebody to teach your son Torah for free. So then in that case, it's permitted for the father to pay money in order so that his son can learn Torah Shabbat Baal Peh, Shnemar Emes Kneh, because we want you to acquire the truth at all costs, to acquire Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, you might think, Yachol Yami Lacher Beschar. So you might say, well, since I had to pay for getting Torah Shabbat Peh, then I should be allowed to charge others for it, since I had to pay for it, Talmud Lomar, Baal Timkor, but you should not sell it. You can acquire truth, but you cannot sell it. Even though your Rebbe didn't behave in the most scrupulous fashion, your Rebbe charged you for Torah Shabbat Peh. Nonetheless, that does not give you the right to go ahead and charge others for it when you teach them. Halacha Ches, a very profound halacha. Kol ish mi Yisrael chayev b'talmud Torah. Every member of Klal Yisrael, every male member of Klal Yisrael is obligated to learn Torah. Bein ani, bein asher, whether he's poor or rich. Bein shalim begufo, bein bal yisurin, whether he's physically fit and healthy or whether he's unfortunately suffering. Bein bachor, bein shaya zakin gadol, shetashas kocho. Whether he's somebody who's young or whether he's very, very old, his strength has waned. Nonetheless, afilu haya ani amisparnis min hatzdaka, even if he's somebody who's so poor that he has to receive charity, machazer al psacha, he's going around knocking on doors for money. And I love this, how afilu bal isha ubanim, even if he's somebody who's a married man and he's got kids, he's got serious responsibilities in his life, he's got things that he's got to take care of, nonetheless, he's obligated to learn Torah in set times during the day as well as the night. As the pasuk says, you shall be engaged and you shall think about the Torah day and night. Halacha Tes. G'doli chachmei Yisrael hayu mehen chot ve'etzim, mehen shovei mayim, mehen sumen. From amongst the greatest wise men we've ever had, some of them were woodchoppers, some of them were water drawers, some of them were blind, people who obviously were either menial laborers, were not all that wealthy, they had busy lives, or people that were blind, obviously did not have all that much wherewithal you would have thought to learn Torah. And nonetheless, they were involved in the learning of Torah day and night. And they are amongst those who transmitted the Torah all the way stretching back to Moshe Rabbeinu. They're part of that amazing chain of the Chachmei Masorah. Despite the difficult physical circumstances they had, they still learned Torah and rose to greatness. Halacha Yud. Ad emasai chayav lomo Torah. Until what stage is one obligated to learn Torah? Ad yom moso, until the day of his death. Shneamar, the pasuk says, upen yetzirum lovecha koyim hayecha. That there's a warning to all members of Klal Yisrael to make sure not to let this matter, not to let the Torah be lost from our hearts. And any time that you're not involved in the learning of the Torah, then you will forget the Torah. Very important line. As long as you're not involved in learning, you are forgetting. And therefore, one is obligated to learn all of their days. And a person is obligated to divide the time that he has for learning into three different sections. Shlish b'Torah Shebal Peh, one for the written Torah, the 24 books of Tanakh. Ushlish b'Torah Shebal Peh, and one for the oral Torah. Ushlish yavin v'yaskel acharis davar me'rishiso, v'yotzi davar midavar, v'damed davar ledavar, v'yavin mindol shatorah nidreshet pen. And the third of his time should be set aside for deeper conceptual understanding of the matters that he's learning, to derive from one thing to another thing, and use the principles that the Torah is understood through, achi dehechu ikra midos, until you understand the matters to their very depth and what was derived from what. And where the ideas that you had learned simply as part of the tradition, where they came from, how it was derived, what it means on a deeper level. And this is referred to as Gemara. So one section on the written law, one on the oral law, the basic Mesorah that was transmitted, and one the deeper understanding of it. Halacha Yud Beis, Ketzat. The Rambam is now going to illustrate an example of this. Hayabal Umnes, if somebody has a profession, let's say, Vaya Osif Imlachto, you know, Shalosh Shos Bayom, and he was involved in his work 3 hours a day, Uba Torah Tesha, and he learned Torah for 9 hours. An amazing perspective on priorities, that somebody should, you know, in a classic case, be involved with his work for 3 hours a day and Torah 9 hours a day. Halavai, we all had that flexibility. So Osana Tesha Kori Bashalosh, Mehen Batorah, Shivchsav, Ushalosh Batorah Shabal Peh, Uvashalosh, Acheros, Misponi Bidaitul Havin Davar Midavar. So of those 9 hours, you should divide them to three-hour sections. So for 3 hours, you should spend time learning the written Torah, 3 hours on the oral Torah, and for three, you should understand it deeper on a conceptual level. Divrei Kabbalah Bechlal Torah Shabal Pehin, Upirushan Bechlal Torah Shabal Peh. And the other books of Tanakh, meaning to say beyond the five books of the Torah, the other remaining books of Tanakh, those also fall under the category of the written law, and the explanations of those books of Tanakh fall under the category of Torah Shebal Peh. And with regards to the philosophical matters, the Rambam outlined at the beginning of Yesodei HaTorah, so those areas fall under the category of Gemara, that third grouping. So now, when is it that somebody's supposed to have equal divisions for the time allotted for each type of learning? That's only at the beginning of his learning. As he becomes greater in wisdom, and he no longer needs to learn the Torah Shebechsav, because he knows it all by heart already. He's deeply familiar with the 24 books of Tanakh, and he also doesn't even have to be involved so much with Torah Shebal Peh, because he recalls the transmitted Mesorah. So then, Yikra be'itim mizumanim Torah Shebechsav v'devrei Hashmua, k'dei shelo yishkach davar me'devrei dinei Torah. Then he should still set aside specific times when he'll go and he'll refresh his memory and not chas v'shalom come to forget the written Torah or the oral Torah, but he should spend v'yifne kol yom av ligamar b'vad l'fi rochav sheyesh b'libo v'yishuv daito. Then he should spend the rest of his days to the deeper and deeper understanding of that which has been transmitted to him, both the written and oral law, and understand it as deeply as he can in accordance with his unique ability. Halacha Yud Gimel, the final halacha in Perek Aleph. Now, I'll give this one a little bit of a preface. It's something which is hard for us to hear with our modern ears. Rambam is going to strongly discourage a father from teaching his daughter any sort of Torah, specifically Torah Shebal Peh. And we know, nowadays, many of the Gedolim of our community have promoted Talmud Torah at the highest levels, even Torah Shebal Peh, for women. And therefore, there's much to be said about this particular Rambam. In fact, many of our Gedolim are working off of this Rambam, interpreting him in specific different ways. And I'd be happy to have a conversation about this Rambam after I read it inside and translate it literally with anybody who would like. You can feel free to private message me, to reach out to me in any way, and I'd be happy to discuss a few of the different approaches to this Rambam. It's really something which deserves that attention, but because of the sake of this project's goal of brevity and just encountering the words of the Rambam on a rather simple level, then we just cannot afford the time to properly go into this. So if anybody would like to discuss more, feel free to reach out to me. Without further ado, let's read Halacha Yud Gimel inside. Isha shalomda Torah, yesh la schar. A woman who learns Torah does receive reward. Aval eno kischara ish, mibnei shalon etztavis. But she doesn't get the same degree of reward as a man, because, after all, she's not commanded to learn Torah. V'chola osa dabar she'eno mitzuva alav la soso, ein schar kischar mitzuva sha'asa, ela pachot menu. And anybody who does a mitzvah when they weren't obligated to do so. While indeed they do receive reward, it's not the same degree of reward as somebody who had been commanded to do so. Rather, they receive a little bit less. This is a principle of Chazal's, and is one where there's numerous different interpretations in the Rishonim and Acharonim as to why this is. But for now, let's just take it as an axiom. The Afal Pi Sheyesh La Schar, and even though a woman does receive reward for learning Torah, so you might think to yourself, so I'll teach my daughter Torah. Granted, I'm not obligated to, she's not obligated to learn it, but I want her to get reward, so I might as well teach her Torah. So Tzivu Chacham Chazal instructed, Shelo Yelamid Adam Esbito Torah, that a person should not teach his daughter Torah. Why? Rov Hanashim Ein Daitan Mechuvenes Lislamid. Because most women do not have their minds properly focused for being taught Torah. Elahein Motzios Divrei Torah L'Divrei Havai. Lefi Anias Da'atan. Again, a bit hard words to translate, but because they will, due to the weakness of their minds, come to turn Torah into words of futility, of foolishness, and they will therefore distort it. Amru Chacham, Chazal taught, Kol HaMelamed Esbito Torah Ki Ilu Limda Tiflas. Therefore, Chazal said that anybody who teaches his daughter Torah, it's as if he's taught her Tiflas. What is Tiflas? Some interpret it as stupidity, foolishness. Others think it has more of a immoral connotation. One way or the other, he's taught her something which is not viewed at a positive light. Now, the Rambam clarifies that everything he said up until now is with regards to B'Torah Shebal Peh. This is discussing the oral law. You shouldn't teach your daughter the written law, ideally. However, if you do, it's not as bad. It's not the same degree of tiflas. It's not treated with the same degree of stricture. You're not supposed to do it, but if you do, it's not considered as bad. Again, anybody who would like to discuss this Rambam more, please feel free to reach out to me and we can discuss the various different approaches. Overall, getting to experience together this first parak and appreciating the enormous obligation of learning Torah every day, every night, in set times, for as much as possible, despite physical circumstances, that is on every single Jewish male, is very important for us to bear in mind, and hopefully we can all live up to this lofty expectation.